Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
The title tonight is Deeper Still. You know, this has been a year for the record books. You've probably heard every pastor that's ever stepped foot inside of a pulpit within between 2019 and 2021 said, man, it's been a doozy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, okay, when's he going to say it so we can get on to his message, right? It's just been, but it really has been. And I know about for you, it's not been as, I've been, because we are in food ministry, we've been slammed with the opportunities to love people with the love of Jesus. Like, I understand there's been many deaths. I heard of somebody today that just, because I haven't even heard about COVID in forever, and somebody called me today and said somebody's really struggling with this really badly. I'm like, wow, it's still there. You know, because we've been moving so beyond it. We're trying to move on and just to accomplish the things of God. But, you know, we had an incredible year with food ministry. You know, we one of our goals is to be a distribution point for other ministries to be able to give out food. Thankful, just what we're talking about today, we moved a step closer to the vision of what 12 bushels is really to be about, right? Because you're going to have 12 bushels right here in Fort Payne. You're going to love on people with the love of Jesus through food. I mean, this is just the gift makes way for the giver, right? So what you're getting ready to do is to be a conduit for the power of God. I'm telling you, God has used food. If he can use food to bring people into a place of sin, he can use food to bring people into a place of his glory. Because food is a struggle for a lot of people. But it could be the thing, the avenue in which you present the gospel of Jesus. There's stories in our church that's through a donut outreach. I mean, food is used. And you're about to get to do that. But this year has been, you know, it's been a crazy year, but it also has been an opportunity. You know, we were singing that song. And bro, I tell you, he told me you were going to be singing tonight. And I wasn't prepared, but you did a fantastic job. Not just that you did, I'm telling you, you've got great things that are in store for you. Give attention to that. That's a gift that it comes only from God. But I wanted to read just Romans chapter 8, verse 28, because that bridge in that, so you take all things that were working against me, you take them and you work them for my good. And at Romans 8, 28, I mean, this is the kind of year that it's been, right? It's been one of those chaotic years for a lot of people. And to be honest, COVID-19 has affected us in ways that we didn't even know. Like, there was residual effects of it that you learn later on, right? Like, I didn't know I wasn't doing it. Well, that was because of COVID. You know, like, well, man, I want this out of my life. I want the influence of the world, but I want the presence and the influence of the kingdom of God only in my life, right? But Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So I tell you what, I am grateful to be in a room tonight that the people that love God, that are called according to his purpose. And maybe you have this question inside of you. I don't know fully yet what is the purpose that I believe that God is going to, in this season, is going to be revealing deeper purpose. Because like I said, the message tonight is deeper still. Like, he's brought us out of a lot of things. Like, we found out over this past year the things that we could live with and the things that we could not, you know, we could live without, right? I'm thankful that there was a pairing, there was a reduction. I don't know if you know anything about me or my past, but I was a chef for about 12 years. And so cooking terms, God has always used to speak to me through. But reduction, we used to make this thing, it was called liquid gold. You would take beef stock. You take the most expensive bones, you rub them down with tomato paste, you throw it in a 500-degree oven, get them all good and roasted and toasted. You take them out, fill it with water, onions, onions, celery, and carrots. You make this liquid, and then you reduced it all the way down to a jelly state, right? It's called demi-glace. But it was the most rich, it was the most flavorful thing. And I think that's what God has done this year with the church. Those that have given themselves to it, trust me, there's churches that shut down and have not reopened, and they may not ever reopen. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be the church God has called us to be according to his scripture, right? We want to live and be like the church that is in the book of Acts. We want to live with power and demonstration. We want to live as a witness full of his spirit, Lord, because we want to go. We're talking about going to Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and all the other parts. We want to be a witness anywhere and everywhere that we go, right? I'm telling you, we're coming up on the season of Pentecost. I believe that God is going to blow. He's going to do something great, but he's using all things, and that's what he's done in the year 20, done with the year 2020, because he had to do something with it. I mean, there was a lot there that could have been wasted, right? He could have just, man, I'd like to just skip over that, but no, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that with any aspect of our life, right? So you can look at even the ugliest parts, the dirtiest parts, or the parts that might be shameful, the parts that, no, he uses those things. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I think that this is what I want to share with you tonight, is that we want to go deeper still so that the testimony of Jesus can be the spirit of prophecy in somebody else's life. What's that mean? That means I want what I went through to be more than just what I went through. I want it to produce life inside of you, right? I want it to begin what my testimony I share with you now that can stir inside of you. The faith to say, God, if you did it for him, you can do it for me. Right. And so that's what I'm hoping that tonight that we get to. We're going to run over just real quickly. We're not recording, so we can get by with quackly tonight. Oh, we are. We are recording? Well, quackly it is. Thank you so much. One thing I hope you do get with me is authenticity. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I've read this verse, and you know, you've read scriptures, and it's like, I know I've read this book. But all of a sudden today, this week, that like I see this and it's like there's fresh breath on it, there's life on it. Like what was it about today? Well, I needed it today, right? Verse 14, it says, now thanks be to God. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That is my hope and my desire tonight, that we get a hold of this right here. For one, we are thankful to God. We can enter into his courts, enter to his gates with praise, and we can have this inside of us, that we're living a life of thankfulness, right? Because I believe that's going to carry us into areas of victory. Like whenever I show thankfulness to somebody that is serving me or that's doing something for me, I guess what? There's a greater return that's going to come for them, but all, they're going to go an extra mile, right? Well, I mean, God, he wants to do more for it, right? I mean, like, but I wouldn't want to keep giving and giving and giving, though my love is endless. Like, you never say thank you. So we need to have a thankfulness about us. But now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ. I'm so thankful for that. That no matter what this past year looked like, we still came out triumphant in Christ Jesus, right? When we gave ourselves to him, we were triumphant in him, right? Because he has never left us. He's never forsaken us. He is our victory. Amen? He is our victory. And so when we set our hearts on him, we set our affections on him, we find that we are triumphant. We are victorious in Jesus' name. But this last part is a desire of my heart. It's burning inside of me that through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want to be an expression of Jesus. Anywhere and everywhere. But oftentimes, I'll tell you that my willingness, there's usually a cap to my willingness, right? Oh, Lord, I've had a long day. You know, Lord, you know I need the rest. But yet I meet somebody that they have a need. I can't tell you how many times I've walked away from somebody that's needed a box of food. And I just said, I'm sorry, we're closed. Because the principle is, hey, you should have got here on time. If you only live by principle, if you only live by the law, and you never live by the spirit of the law. Like, you're there for a reason, right? And that reason is to love people. Then if you withhold your love from somebody, you're not fulfilling the reason that you're there for, right? And so we're here on this earth. We have this testimony in Jesus for the purposes of being a diffusion or a manifestation or a releasing a distribution of his presence, of his fragrance, of the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, right? I want to be an expression of him in this earth. Is that making sense? Yes, yeah. And it's not just the knowledge of him. So when you get into the knowledge, it's the intimate knowing, right? The intimate knowledge of him, the knowing of him. And that's why I want people to be able to walk in an intimate relationship with the Lord. Can somebody look into my life? Can they look into your life? And can they see Christ? Can they smell the fragrance of Christ? Do they experience the love of Jesus? And the answer is not always. And I don't say that to be condemning. Sometimes I think we need to stop, or I think we need to stop looking at our shortcomings as just failures, but as opportunities to grow, to get better, to be more like Jesus. See, okay, that is my weakness. But he says that my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So stop taking your weakness as just a failure and an excuse to stay downcast. But say, you know what? I see this. This is how I need to grow. This is how I need to be better for the Lord. Because I am here as a representation of Jesus in this earth, right? And my representation has got to be a good one. I think about when it says diffuses, I think about those diffusers that you have in your house. You know, you got the oil, you got the water, all that mixture. They say it don't mix, but I'm telling you, when you do mix it, it releases some of the best smelling stuff. I've got a personal favorite. I don't know if a man should have a personal diffuser flavor, but I got one. It's called frankincense. Real trying to be. But whenever you turn that on, it might take a little bit, but eventually, as it's running, it's going to begin to fill the whole house. But then you got to think, there's sometimes the house is too big, so you got to have two of them. Well, maybe the house is too big for two, you got to have three of them. Saying that to say this, that you might release and diffuse a fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus alone, but the importance of doing this life together. Like you are in a fellowship, you are in a church here, you're in a part of a body that he was talking about, the commanded blessing. It says whenever you dwell in unity. Well, to dwell in unity, you've got to be together, right? You can't build a relationship. I cannot be in love with this woman if I never spend any time with this woman, right? It takes time together to build that unity. But whenever you get together with another, your power to release that fragrance, to be that expression of Jesus, to be an administrator, administration of the Spirit is even greater. And then you add more and more and more. Look, what can we do together, right? We can do a lot. But if we separate ourselves or we isolate ourselves, which is what the world wants us to do right now. I've been a social distancer before social distancing became about. Like, for real. We ain't got to be up in each other's face. Right? I'm okay with this. But don't tell me I can't be in. There's one thing if I don't want to, but you can't tell me that I can't. You know, like, sometimes you don't think you're rebellious and you're like, all of a sudden you're throwing them shoulders back like you're somebody. You're going to fight that fight. But I believe that if we catch a hold of this one scripture right here and we just say, Lord, I want to be that expression. Right, I want to be that manifestation of your fragrance in the earth. I believe we're going to see those things come to pass. But I tell you, there was, with the year that we did have, I think, man, it's not even reasonable. Like, we had to walk away from, the church was shut down, right, for a month and a half. I mean, some churches still, right? I don't, kind of out of that vein, we've been going and blowing so much. But the reality is, the world has been affected. A lot of things have been cut away, but I really felt in my spirit that for myself, for my family, for the deeper still, the where we need to go, is that there's going to be more things that need to be cut away from our life, right? Where that circumcision of the heart, getting that heart in the condition that it can bear as much fruit as possible, right? We're talking about this morning with the students, the J-8 students. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and the love, the joy, the peace, patience, all those good things. But those fruit are simply not for you to partake of. The fruit of the Spirit is for others that are around you, that the people that interact with you, it's for them to partake of, for them to see and know and taste that God is who he says he is, that he is the good, the God that created the heavens and the earth. He gave us his only begotten. So he is who he is, right? It's for others to partake of us. We're here for others. And so any bit of circumcision of the heart or separation from myself, from the things of the world, we need to take joy in those things, right? Because we have to know that anything that I walk away from, any death that I die, there's going to be a greater life that's going to come out of it, right? If I say, I'm going to not eat Chinese food, and you might think, well, that's just Chinese food. You got to understand. I may have a small infatuation with the Chinese food. It ain't the culture. It's not the actual Chinese food in another out in China. It's that MSG-loaded stuff that they sell down here at Chowking and Yoki over in. But if God said, hey, I want you to quit this, because if you do this, 15 people are going to give their life to Jesus next week. Right? Like, that sounds insignificant. Sounds foolish. But it is the God that we serve that he still speaks. He still gives order. He still gives command with the expectation of obedience. And as I give myself in obedience, right? Because it's obedience, whether it's in worship. We talk about worship. Worship is always should cost us something, right? It's not something that's meant to be cheap or flippant. But as we're obedient, whether in worship or just as we're living life, I believe that God responds to that faith. But if we would put it into the smallest, because we want to do the greatest things for God, right? But yet sometimes it's those small beginnings. He said, you know, don't look down on the small beginnings, right? But if you would just say yes to me in this moment, say, hey, I don't want you to do this today, and don't do that today and see what it does. It builds your faith. He shows up, right? You don't go eat Yoki for the next 15 days and 15 people get saved. Like, whoa. He gets your attention, right? But are we going to do whatever it takes to see these great things? Look, I'm believing for revival. I'm believing for an outpouring of the Spirit. I'm believing that there's going to be a harvest of souls, right? Well, a harvest of souls does not happen on its own. I was thinking that we were working on a tile job today. I'm like, I said to the Lord, well, that tile job will finish itself. Like, no, it won't. I'm going to have to go back and do it. Right? Revival doesn't happen by itself. It's whenever we get ourselves positioned and conditioned, right? Whenever revival and the outpouring took place in the book of Acts is because they were all in one place in one accord, right? They had to do something. They had to be somewhere. But I'm just asking us, are we really hungry for that outpouring? If so, we're going to do whatever it takes. And I truly believe that the Lord would have us to render a few things back, to cut a few things back. He talked about in John chapter 15, you know, whenever the branch is trimmed, it's either because it's bearing no fruit or it has the need of bearing much more fruit, right? And so obviously we want to be people that are bearing more fruit and not be cut off, right? But I want us to look over at a passage of scripture in 1 Kings chapter 19. Looking at just, we want to go deeper still. We don't want to be just caught up in what we've already lived, right? I told the students today, you're in J3A, good job, congratulations. There's so much more to life than just joining a program. There's so much more to life in Christ than just going to church. There's relationship. There's this life and walking in the Spirit. It's like, man, I really, you know, I'm going to church, but yet I'm struggling with this sin, right? I'm really struggling with this. Well, he says, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The answers we need are right here in the Word of God. We just have to give ourselves to the Word of God, right? We have to look into what it needs to be added to our life. And so we're going to be reading about Elisha. The title, the heading here in this part of the scripture says, Elisha follows Elijah. Just so you know, just Elijah was the prophet. He'd been on the Tishbite. He'd been on the stage for a little bit, done some great things. Had really come up against some great opposition. I mean, with Jezebel and Ahab. And he, at one point in time, he told Ahab, look, man, it ain't going to rain until I tell it to rain again. God honored it. It did not rain for three and a half years. And then, I mean, you got to understand that Elijah, he did many great things, but he was getting to this point in time where there was about to be a succession to his ministry, right? And a successor was about to be appointed and not just chosen, an important thing. So let's pick up in verse 19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said, to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Always a confusing or kind of an odd question. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Let's pray real fast. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the invitation and the appointment tonight, Lord God, to speak this word, Lord, this precious word that has changed every one of our lives, Lord God. So, Father, tonight I pray that you would help us to have open ears, open hearts, Lord, to receive everything that you would have us to say or to receive. But, Lord, we commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thankful that we have this picture here because we have a guy, Elisha. He's obviously going about what his business has been, right? They must have been farmer. I mean, I'm thinking like he's got 12 yoke of oxen. Is that what it said? Or 6 yoke of oxen? No, 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24 animals. I mean, this is not some small operation, right? He I don't know if he's pulling a plow that's as wide as this room. I mean, he needed some oxen power. Obviously, that this farm has been in operation for a while, or this farm is a good size. There's some notoriety that must be with this. He's got a place, right? Not just with the oxen, but with the family. And so we see in here that Elisha, as he encounters Elijah, obviously he knew who he was. It was no secret to who Elijah was. And so he comes by, throws the mantle on him. He knew what was going on. But just because you know what's going on, sometimes you might not realize the cost that it's going to take you, right? And so in this deeper steal, in this deeper pursuit of the Lord, I want you to know that there's going to be deeper cost to this deeper relationship with the Lord. Talking about living a life of fasting and prayer, it's going to take a little bit more death to the flesh to be able to get to the places that God wants to take us. Because he wants to use us in great ways, right? He wants to use Elisha in great ways. But there has to come a greater death. He can't just keep doing the things that he's always been doing, right? He can't do the ministry and stay on the plow, right? There's got to be one or the other. And so that's what we're finding in this place of deeper still is, okay, I'm finding myself, I'm in a place of decision. I've got to make some decisions, but those decisions have got to be made based upon the Spirit. I'm not telling you to be fluky and weird, but you got that inward witness that you got with inside of you, that knowing, okay, this is the same voice that drew me to Christ. Well, he's the same one that's going to lead you in Christ. So we've got to make decisions based upon the Word of God, based upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we see here that Elisha, he's in this place of decision. The mantle's thrown on him, and he's like, wait, can I just at least go say goodbye to my mom and dad? He's like, cool, you know, go do it. A little different than whenever Jesus and how they responded to Jesus whenever he said, come and follow me. It said they went immediately, they threw down their nets and they went and followed him, right? So I'm like, Lord, which one? Do you want an immediate or do you want me to? Well, I think it's okay to, I think it's a good thing to honor those that raised you. If I just up and left, you know, or if my boys did, I raised them in the Lord and they just up and left me and went somewhere, I think that would not just be offensive, that'd be hurtful, right? I think it's okay to honor, but at the same time, there needs to be an immediate response. So I understand that there's some things that you might have to attend to tonight and after tonight, but there are also some things that you need to immediately give attention to. Because that immediate attention, that immediate act of faith, I believe you're going to begin to see a response to that thing. Part of that word was it was a quick square, right? Speed square. It's not going to take as much time. So the quicker we respond to the Lord, I believe that he's going to show up in those places. It says, Elisha, he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment. And gave it to the people, and they ate. It's interesting here. There was lot more yoke of oxen than were slaughtered, right? I was thinking about it today. Just like, why did he just take a yoke of oxen? Why didn't he just slaughter all 24 of these animals? I mean, other than the fact it probably would have taken a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of fire, maybe he didn't have enough plow to burn it all. I don't know. But honestly, I think he was showing another level and depth of respect, because I think he sacrificed what he had right to sacrifice. He sacrificed what was his portion. He didn't leave the family high and dry just because he got this calling and this mantle. He didn't leave people behind just because, right? Does that make sense? That we need to be respectful. We need to be honoring. We need to, those that have raised us, that have taught us. I mean, the scripture says to go back to those that have taught you, right? Elisha was about to step into this next level of being the prophet of Israel. But he wasn't so quick to do it that he just left everything else to rot, to be destroyed, to not have any provision. No. He did with what was in his right to do. But he did what was his. Obviously, the yoke of oxen, the plow, all these. He was so ready to move into the next, that he was willing to, in a sense, burn the bridge, burn the thing that was holding him. He says, you know what? This is not going to be my identity any longer. Just like with the guys that became the disciples, that would become the apostles, they immediately threw down their nets. I mean, they literally, one part of it says that they left Zebedee in the boat.
Right.
Yeah. I could just kind of see his face like Luke Chisholm's dad, just walking, like, what? But they were so ready and so willing to lay it all down.
Yeah.
They didn't care what the cost was. Though there was a cost to count,
yeah,
there was, I believe I know who you are, right? But Elisha here was so willing to follow and to take up that mantle, take up that calling, take up the responsibility of hearing the voice of God for a nation, that he was willing to throw away everything of his past to go after everything that God had in his future.
Amen.
And a lot of this, almost every bit of this, is going to take faith, right? Because anything not of faith is what? Sin. And so a lot of times there's just questions we don't have the answers to. You know, deeper still, okay, what does that mean? Well, by faith, we pursue the Lord. By faith, we hear from God. We follow God. And he will lead us into those deeper places, right? There's deeper things that he has for us, but we have to live life by faith. You hear it? Act on it. You see it? Act on it. You've got a song stirring up inside your heart at the gas station? Sing it. Let it out. You don't know what atmosphere you're about to change, right? You might be the atmosphere. You might be the breaker to whatever's going on inside of that. You might be the one that you're singing that song, and the next time that person of another country, and you know, is out there working on the gas pump, all of a sudden they feel the presence of God and they give their life. You don't know, right? You don't know what is going to happen, but God does. He uses all things, right, to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I believe that our deeper is going to help others go into a place of deeper as well, if we would just allow it. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Y'all with me? Good deal. More and more, I just respect the writings of Paul and just the life that he lived. And I tell you, we were laying that tile today. I keep saying we. It was just me. I guess me and the Holy Spirit. There was nobody else in the room at that time, but we were still doing it, I guess. But I was thinking about, there was a man of faith a long time ago named Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that name. And man, I never met the guy, but knowing I'm over here laying tile. He was a plumber, but plumber by day, but man, a powerful man of God by night. He's the original superhero, right? But in all reality and sincerity, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, you know, Lord, I'll lay as many pieces of tile you want me to lay if I could raise somebody from the dead, if I could win a nation for you, if I can do something. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do whatever it takes. I want to be that conduit of power. And I don't care what it looks, but I'm laying this tile, and I'm thankful that if you submit it to God, He can use anything and all things to teach you, to train you, to show you. Because if you can stay submissive in those moments when nobody else is around, because I'm not laying tile for money, right? I'm laying tile for a house that one day there's going to be men that are going to be living there that are going to be getting their life set on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, and they're going to go out and change the world they live in, right? Hope restored. I'm not just laying tile. I'm laying tile that's going to change lives. There's going to be meals cooked behind that tile. You know what I mean? You got to think spiritually. I mean, or you're going to get burned out. You're going to fall. You got to think spiritually. That's why you walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you have to keep your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's read over, because we're talking about deeper still soul. Just like Elisha, he has walked away from those old things, and now he's pursuing the new. And that's where I want to give a New Testament reference to that. Let's pick up in just verse 8, chapter 3. It says, Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, and if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. I really think that this passage of Scripture gives a greater depth of understanding of probably what Elisha was. What's not said in 1 Kings is being said here, what Elisha was going through there. Because he wasn't just laying things down just to lay things down. He understood that there was a greater thing that was going to come out of this, right? There was something. He knew who Elijah was. He knew the mantle of the calling of God. So he knew that when he followed, God was going to show up as well. But Paul's writing the same thing. He said, you know, I count all things as loss, but just to know Jesus, right? And so I want you to understand and hopefully gain this heart that anything that I have to lose to know Jesus is worth losing. Right? Because if anything that COVID taught me, I don't have to have all things. Yeah. Right? At one point in time, we had, I don't know, 3-4 subscriptions to whatever. Didn't use none of them. Right. So it's just sucking life out of you. Yeah. If it's sucking money, it's sucking life. But I realized, hey, we don't have to have this. So I cut it out of my life. I got more money. I mean, it's amazing how simple this really is. If I cut more out of the world out of my life, the more of God that I can have. Because if my mind is on something, it can't be on something else. So if my attention is being given to the world, how can my attention be given to God? It cannot, right? And so the more that has been cut away, the more I counted those things as lost, the more I was able to gain Christ. And I believe that's the same thing for your life. You're going to see that. You're going to see that as you die to something, you can live in Him in a far greater way. But let's read on in verse 12. It says, and there's so much in here. Trust me, a preacher could get lost in this passage of Scripture. I've seen it done. It's powerful. It really is. But verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I think this is really important, even in the reference to Elisha, is because obviously he was running a big operation. You know, he was the dude that was in charge. I mean, you didn't put your low man on the totem pole to go plow the field, right? Or you might have a zigzagged field. You need it done properly, right? And a lot of people would say, You've got the job everybody else wants. Maybe it's not the job everybody wanted, but he's got a job that somebody wanted. It's better than the job that, you know, had somebody taking care of pigs or whatever the other jobs were. But Elisha didn't think more highly of himself than he ought to. And I think it's a very, very important thing. And in a culture in the Bible Belt, it's really easy, and you probably run into it. You may have even had it at times, but that religious spirit that kind of can stir up, or that gift of piety, it ain't much of a gift. It ain't pie. That thinking more highly of yourself than you really ought. I think the Lord really wants to cut that back, you know? To be able to only brag in one thing, and that's our weakness in Christ. Or our strength in Christ, but because of my weakness, I have strength in Him. Because I stay submitted to Him. But I didn't think of myself as something more than I really was. I understood who I really was, right? But I pressed towards the goal, verse 14. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. In that scripture, it translates out to this. In the same way that you laid hold of this is the same way you're going to lay hold of the deeper things. Like, doesn't it make sense? If I got free in this way, I gave my life to Jesus. Over in 2 Corinthians at chapter 3, I believe. Just turn it real fast. It says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Right? So if what took the veil away, or what took the deception away, or what took the issue with an addiction, or just whatever victory you were missing, what took that and gave you victory, worked the first time, it still works again. Jesus is still the name above every name, like was spoken. At that same name, those same demons that trembled once will tremble again. Amen. Right? But we've got to remember to keep turning back to Him. I truly believe that though He wants to take us deeper, it's not just in the deeper of the knowledge, because remember, we're to be a diffusion or a release of the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus, right? But He didn't want to take us deeper just for our sake, but for the sake of others, right? And so I have felt very challenged in a great way. In a great way. Son, I want you to know me better, and I want you to know me better, and I want others to know me through you. I really do. So let's go deeper. Let's allow Him to use all things to structure our life, to form our life, to form and fashion us into the people that we're called to be. Amen? Amen. Amen.